The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the book of Acts, we travel to learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. We seek to bring glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. First, there are many things that are appealing about Jesus. His wisdom, his knowledge, his truth, his compassion, and his revelations. But the people connected to what he said by what he did. The power of his message made people pay attention. Ooh, we're going to get into that. Next, what greater joy can a faithful servant and follower of Jesus have than to be a conduit of God's grace? The example of Jesus was the Father working through him. And that example is specifically for you and specifically for me and for all of us to see and replicate to be that conduit. And finally, there are many good arguments about free will and predestination. We often say it is free will from man's point of view, but predestination from God's point of view. One thing is for sure, when God has a purpose, it is fulfilled even when it involves temporary pain.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, how you doing? Fine. We're asking you, what do you think? You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You don't even have to tell us who you are. It's okay. You can also call us at 972-445-0770. You know, on the show I did in San Diego, people would call up and they would make up names. Like, I'm Professor X. from the X-Men. Did you know? I never told you that, did I? Is that hilarious?
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a call up and they would just, like, I'm Spider-Man's second cousin, third, once removed. You're like going, well, okay.
Give my interview and ask some 20 questions.
You can call us at 972-445-0770. If you do that, Terrific T will answer the phone. You don't even have to give your real name.
Be like, this is Spider-Woman's assistant.
My people get in touch with your people. We'll do lunch. Anyway, so you can do that. As you can see where we're going here, I'm going to the dentist tomorrow. What do you want from me? You know what's really funny about that is we don't know if it will probably be a replay, but if I'm here, it'll be like this. It's like, wow, that's going to be funny. Any topic, of course, is open for conversation. We've proven multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of times. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, and that's why we call it the David Spoon Experience. Just got to buckle up, little campers, and get into it. If you've got a prayer request, a praise report, if you got something you want to share, the Lord's working on something in your life and you want to share it, you got a question about something, maybe you have an answer to Bible trivia. Here's the trivia question. Who is the father of lies? Who is the father of lies? Ooh. Who is the father of lies? If you think you know the answer to that, You can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Certainly, this is an important issue because whoever is the father of lies needs to be overcome by, what do you overcome the lie by? The truth. That's what you overcome the lie by. That's why we need to know the truth, right? Okay. So go ahead and answer that. Who is the father of lies? I will give a few. There's a lot of people will know this, but I want you to not feel funny about it or whatever. It is definitely referenced in the Gospel of John chapter 8. Okay? I'll leave that there. In the meantime, don't forget about our website. Not only is it kind of pretty, or it's not very pretty, but it's useful, functional, and that's where people give through that portal, through that website. Hopefully you'll be able to. If not, you can always send a check here to the station or whatever in Cary Davis. But look it, only if the Lord puts it on your heart. Don't do it unless you really think, hey, I want to do this. Then do it. Okay? Then be responsive to it. Here's our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so we got that taken care of. I'm just trying to make sure I get everything taken care of. You know what? Remember I asked Mary. Mary had called in. She gave some she'd mentioned something about her daughter. Remember she used her daughter because I was trying to get some information on the Kindle. So I talked to her daughter. Did I tell you that I talked to her? Yeah. So I got that Kindle for her. I love it. It's absolutely unbelievable, especially for a guy like me who has to read a bazillion books. Yay! I'm so happy about it. You when you're reading it, I'm just going to say I'm not promoting them or anything. Just when you push a button and you can verbalize your notes while you're reading it. It's like so nice. This would have saved me about 15 hours a week, for about 5 years in the last 5 years. See, I always come to things late. I don't know what it is. I was like, now Dave has arrived after it's the next race. Okay. All right, let's get into our text. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful portion. Let's get right to it. What do we got to do? Yeah, let's do the expository sound for our text.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
There you go. Wow. Wow, I hit the microphone again. I'm really good at that. Let me pick it up. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel. Now remember, this is after Peter. And if you haven't heard it, you're welcome to go back and check out the podcast. Those are on the website as well. But we're just going through the process piece by piece. It's a narrative book, so it teaches a lot differently than an epistle. So we're picking this back up. This is Peter giving his big first sermon. Amazing that the fisherman, the guy that was like one of the three stooges, Larry, Moe, and Curly, this is the guy that's preaching the big sermon. He's been restored by Jesus. Here's verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. That word attested means exhibited. It has to do with a gladiator in the ring, and then the gladiator would do activities and actions, and it was to exhibit his skills. That's exactly the same word that's used in the Greek culture that's used here in the scripture, attested. It literally means to show forth. To show forth, I mean to demonstrate, to prove by demonstration, and then by bringing that demonstration, it is approved. Well, guess how Jesus was demonstrated to be the Messiah by God through the miracles he did. Not just a couple of miracles, but the abundance of miracles. And the abundance of miracles was something anticipated in Jewish writing, in the Talmud, and in the Mishnah for the sign of the Messiah. So Jesus comes, he's doing abundant miracles. God's testifying, this is it. This is my answer to your problem. It is me in human form. And it's like, those miracles mean something. Now, you say, well, what about today? How does the miracle process work today? You know what you don't see in America? As many miracles. You know what you see in third world countries? A lot more miracles. Why? because there they have nothing left. They don't go to science. They go to whatever they can. And when they run out of everything, they go to God because there's nothing left. And that faith still activates miracles. Is it the same as like when Jesus was doing miracles? No, because Jesus is the Messiah. Never going to be the same. Well, we're supposed to do works like him and more works. More, not better, not bigger, more. More in number, not more in quality, more in quantity, because there's a lot more of us. Got that? Okay. So what's the important part about that? Well, in our world and society, you might not like this statement. It's okay. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. Everybody in the last 5 years has been saying, what have they been saying? Follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. But do you ever notice that the science is always changing, but the truth never changes? People are going to follow the science. Guess where? Right to the pit of hell, because science is the acknowledgement of man's knowledge, and man's knowledge cannot save your soul, period. So I don't mind following the science as long as it doesn't contradict God's word and as long as it's beneficial and profitable. But there is a knowledge, remember the tree of knowledge of good and evil? There's a good knowledge and a bad knowledge. I ain't following the bad knowledge. That's not the way to go. But you know what? Forget all that. I'm going to follow Jesus so that when I'm dead, I'm alive and living in heaven. And if science people don't like that, too bad. That's my stuff. Enjoy the heat. All right, trivia answer. Who is the father of lies? John chapter 8, verse 44. Satan, the enemy, is the father of lies. So anytime there's a lie, you should know where its origin is. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
My guest on the phone today is absolutely no exception and is one of the top tiers. I want to say welcome to Dr. David Jeremiah from Turning Point. Dr. Jeremiah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
It's great to have you on the show. I was doing a little bit of research, and I just wanted to ask you because I want to talk about the new book, and I want to talk about the study Bible you just released and Turning Point, but I was going over some of the materials you've done, and on my list I have that you've done at this point, and if I'm wrong, correct me, at least 53 books with 3 New York Times bestsellers and one about to be a 4th New York Times bestseller, 100 Bible study guides, and you sold more than 4 million books. Is that right?
Well, you know more about that than I do, but that sounds probably about right, yeah.
That is absolutely amazing. So everybody who's listening to this broadcast right now certainly, I'm sure, wants to send out their appreciation for you taking the time and committing yourself to this process. I was going through your background, and as I was reading it, I understand that you actually accepted the Lord as your Savior when you were 14. Is that right?
That's about right. Yeah, that's about how old I was, yeah.
So you were young when you came into the faith.
Actually, I really had a head start in many respects because I was born into the family of a pastor. And I heard the gospel many, many times and probably had some preliminary experiences before I truly understood it for myself at that age. So I was blessed to be brought up in a Christian home with the message of the gospel very, very familiar to me.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Already getting people not real happy about my last statements. get in line. That's my line. The get in line. That's what I used to tell people. All right, here's your next trivia question. What two men, father and son, a little tougher, but you should know this. What two men claimed at different times that their wives were actually their sisters? What two men, father and son, claimed at different times that their wives were actually their sisters? You can get these answers in Genesis 12 and in Genesis 26. Somebody calling in, so that's, wow. Joy, you and Corey are so fast. That's pretty fast, I gotta say. What two men, father and son, claimed to be at different times that their wives were actually their sisters? I guess it's a little bit of family stuff going on. That's all I'm going to leave. I'm just going to kind of leave that there. Somebody already on the phone. See if you can catch it. Are we ready for this? Okay. Can you? It's just a regular question. Okay. Well, we'll bring him on. Hold on. This is David. How you doing, Troy?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Well, so far, so good, I guess. But all I want to ask you and all I want from you is a yes or no.
Uh-oh.
Every time the Democrats get in, they start hollering about weather change. Do you think it's anything to that, yes or no?
All right. Only God controls the atmosphere of the entire Earth. There you go.
Well, I agree with you on that.
And there you go.
I tell you what, I get so browbeaten on that. Oh, that's all they talk about.
Well, I understand, but God said that he's the one in charge. He's the one that's going to flood. He's the one that's going to burn. He's the one that brings summer. He's the one that brings winter, and it won't change until he says so. There it is.
Well, I'm nearly 83, and I've been around a while about the weather. I've been through snow, sleet, rain, fire, and everything else in these 83 years. And I don't see no change in nothing. But the Lord says it's going to be, at the end of time, it's going to be fires and tornadoes and earthquakes and everything like that. So we got to expect all of that, right?
Yeah, I would think you would expect very bizarre weather to happen. Here would be my ultimate response, okay? Here's my ultimate response, so that there's never any question for anybody. God created the earth. And God will dismiss the earth when he's ready.
Amen on that.
Okay,
man,
all right.
I get so aggravated, them people, every time you turn on a radio or a television or even walk down the street, somebody was talking about weather change. And I've seen all kinds of weather.
Don't let them discourage you. Stand firm in the Lord, okay?
All right.
God bless you, brother. Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we still got our trivia question. The one thing I want to say about Troy is he's forward. He tells you how he thinks. I mean, he's like Nathaniel. He just tells you what's on his heart. Doesn't have any problem doing that. And by the way, I do notice one thing. In December, January, and February, it's cold. And then in July and August, it's hot. I think we call that winter and summer. I don't know. I've been around a little while, but maybe not as long as Troy, although I'm not sure anybody's been around as long as Troy. It's hard to tell. All right. Two men, father and son, claimed at different times that their wives were actually their sisters. If you think you know the answer, you can go ahead and call in. What's our call-in number? 972-445-0770. Plus, you can text in 214-210-8483. For those that are offended when I say something about science or man or whatever the case may be, I just want to point out one thing. The Word of God stands forever. The earth's foundation will cease, but the Word of God will never cease. Okay? There you go. Okie dokie. I got a joke. It's not funny, but it's cute. So you have to give me on the cute meter. Okay? All right. All right, she doesn't like that already. Okay. I'll give you another one then. She already buzzed me out of that one. Let's do this one. Okay. It's called A Matter of Perspective. Three preachers sat discussing the best positions for prayer. They were talking while a telephone repairman worked nearby. Kneeling is definitely the best, claimed one. No, another contended. I get the best results standing with my hands outstretched to heaven. You're both wrong, the third said. The most effective prayer position is lying prostrate face down on the floor. The repairman couldn't contain himself any longer. Hey, fellas, he interrupted. The best praying I ever did was hanging upside down on a telephone pole. That's pretty good, right? Hanging upside down on a telephone pole. That would do it. Okay, here we go. Back into our text. We're done with everything. We're okay. Remind me of the trivia, or I'll just forget it. Verse 22, men of Israel, hear the words, Jesus of Nazareth, the man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you also know. Stop. This is the kind of stuff I absolutely think that when we read scriptures, we just buzz right by it. We're like the flash. And we don't even stop and look and see what's being said. Peter's talking about Jesus being the chosen one. He is attested to. He is testified to. He is verified. He is demonstrated by God the Father that this is God the Son through the miracles, wonders, and signs, the very ripping of what we would call the matter or the physical laws ripped to shreds when Jesus is there. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. I mean, it's just like incredibly. So it's like none of this should be happening. It's all happening. Jesus taking five loaves of bread and two fish and feeding 5,000. It's like you're like going, how is this happening? And then this little segment right in here, which is what I want every one of you to hear. Attested by God to you by the miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. And that little statement right there is your ministry. It's what God does through you. Oh, it's not you. You probably haven't done hardly a good thing at all apart from God ever. First of all, any good thing, any good residual anybody's done is because we're connected to the image of God. Man is basically good. No, he's not. And for science or anybody else to say that just means they're bonkers. Man is evil. Jesus goes, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more does your heavenly Father know? So Jesus already defined us as evil. So just stop, okay? But through God and God using you, you can do amazing kingdom work. So the question becomes, well, what do I got to do to be used by God? Ask. That's right. You're looking for some big theological thing, right? No. And now the reason I bring this up and the reason that I harp on stuff like this is because this is a demonstration to you and I on how Jesus functioned in ministry. He was in a partnership with the Father, and he even said, everything the Father tells me to do, that's what I do. Everything the Father tells me to say, that's what I say. And he is our example, and we are supposed to replicate. I mean, you're not going to clone perfectly. I think you know that. But the same Holy Spirit that was living in Jesus is living in you. And so you and I, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, same one that raised Jesus from the dead. Right? Well, he's only partially dead. You're not like being partially pregnant. That doesn't work. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that God worked through Jesus as an example to you and I that he works through us. Don't you see everything that God has done from the beginning of the creation of Adam and Eve all the way to this very moment has been this desire on his end to be in partnership with God. You think the Bible is fantastic, don't you? I do. I think it's absolutely amazing. I've actually seen things that I don't even want to talk about on the air because they kind of make me nutsy cuckoo. Guess who God partnered with to write the Bible? Man. That's who he partnered with. Guess who God uses to proclaim his message? Prophets. Men. Women. Oh, wow. Children. It's like you're kidding, right? No. This is about a partnership with all of us, with God. And the reason that I'm just going to harp on this, is because the way you advance the kingdom of God is by connecting with God to such a degree that you become that conduit. Why do you think we talk about the DNA always and refer to the A part as always being ready to serve? Because you're a conduit between what God wants to do and the people that need to receive it. You're there. Through Jesus Christ, we're all conduits now. We're all communicators of that love of God. We're all his vessels that he's utilizing and using to advance his kingdom and to help people. I think, boy, Dave, you're really passionate about this. Yeah, this is a big deal to me because I think what happens is people think there's professional ministers. No, there's not. There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who are there to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Who's got the work of ministry? The saints. Well, we're not getting paid. You're going to spend eternity with God? You're going to live forever with God on streets of gold? You're getting paid. Okay? All right. Solve that problem right there. Well, I'm not wearing a tie. Good. I'm not sure Jesus wore a tie. It's just my line. All right, trivia. I got to answer the trivia. People are like going, oh, he's lost it now. What two men, father and son, claimed at different times that their wives were actually their sisters? That would be Abraham and Isaac. Abraham in Genesis 12, 11 through 13, and Isaac in Genesis 26, 6 through 7. That was a tough one. That was not an easy one, and I acknowledge everybody who did that. Good job. Abraham and Isaac. Okay? All right. Got that? Okay. All right. Everybody did as good as you can do. Just remember that. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Job, I want to read Job 3:25. I don't want anybody looking. I know that the teachings in the church and being a Baptist, somebody who's got a Baptist ordination, a Pentecost ordination, somebody who understands what Calminian means, understands what the manifold millennialist is. I get it. I really do. I've been around for a little while. When you're hearing scripture, you don't have to put all the scriptures you hear in certain boxes so they fit your motif of a theology. Sometimes you can just look at it and observe it and go right for it and review it. And Job chapter 3, verse 25, one of the things that Job said is, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." There's a whole teaching on, it's because your confession wasn't good. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think God was bragging about Job to Satan. Job didn't know that was going on. That's obvious. But there he is. God's bragging about him. And what Job is like going is like, this is the worst thing that I could think of. And that happens to people. Believers, good believers, great believers, fantastic believers, lousy believers, and everybody else. It's something that takes place. Sometimes bad things come about in the process. That doesn't mean that God hates you. First of all, the world has rebelled against God and lies in wickedness. So it's not God's fault that the world said, we'll run this planet without you. We'll let you know. I mean, that's not God's fault. He's not the one that did that. People did that. And so the idea to understand is sometimes these tough things happen. The great thing to know is that God has not left and went to Pluto while you're going through these things. In this particular case, in Job, it was completely the opposite of what Job thought, because God was bragging about him, and Job thought he was in some kind of trouble or some kind of judgment. Hey, guess what? Job was wrong. Something else was going on altogether, which is often the case. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but today is our five-month anniversary on the 90 Minutes. So, today's, because we started on January 11th, and it's June 11th. So, it's pretty good. Didn't seem like it was that much of a stretch. In fact, even right now, I'm sitting here looking. I didn't even teach. I was going to talk to you in that last segment about how that the miracles that were done through Jesus, it also showed his humility, because it showed his humanity side, that God the Father was taking the lead through the Holy Spirit. I mean, I didn't even get to that stuff or any of that stuff. And I didn't even cover the fact that we were talking about God will use you. And then some people are like, well, you got to be perfect for God to use you. God used a donkey to rebuke a prophet. So I don't think you have to be perfect. Didn't even have time to cover it. We'll see what happens in the future. Here's your next trivia question. A wonderful question. Wonderful question. Who was the only animal that lied? Aha! 972-445-0770 is the number to call. 214-210-8483. Most people know I'll try and text you like during the show at different times. I have so many more texts going on now. I'll have to text you guys at the end of the show. Okay, it's just too much. I can't. Just got to keep it all together. But anyway, that's the question. Very straightforward. Who was the only animal that lied in the Bible? 972-445-0770 and the text 214-210-8483. Good job, Eric. Eric nailed it down right off the bat. Let's do our history real quickly.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, got a couple things going on today, so I'm going to kind of go through them and tell you what they are from a historical point of view. It's National Urban Spice Day, although I mean, you got to have spices, right? I don't understand why. What is that? What do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't even know what the urban part of spices is. It's like an urban spice, paprika.
Yeah, like that kind of thing. And then just like all the salts and the different
oregano.
Yeah, and all that. Exactly.
I like that word, oregano.
Oregano. Somebody came up with it, looked at it, and said, let's call it. Or egg. And the other one said, oh, no, oregano. That's how they came up with that. Okay. It's also iced tea day, which I like iced tea, but I'm more into the flavored iced tea. Like, I don't mind the raspberry ones, but the regular ones.
I like the peach ones.
Do you? Okay. I like tea. Like, I drink tea during the show. I drink tea at night, but it's not iced tea. It's hot tea. It's hard to talk for 90 minutes. Well, not really. It's Black Cow Day, which is, for those that don't know, a root beer float with ice cream in it. And vanilla ice cream. You ever had one of those?
Okay. I don't like root beer floats or root beer.
Wow, did you kill that one in a hurry? Okay, and it's ballpoint pen day, which at some point is not going to be used anymore since we do everything. The other day I had to sign my name, and it was on a tablet, and I had to use my finger. Have you had to do that? Were you?
Technology's moving up in the world.
I mean, pen, it's like use your finger. What? Okay. First public zoo ever that we're aware of, probably not true, but at least true in the modern world, opened on this day in 1793 in Paris, France, for those that want to know. 1944 on this day, 15-year-old boy, Joe Nuxall, played in a major league baseball game. He must have been a big kid. And then in 1752, Benjamin Franklin flies a kite. That's what you got. You know, that's for the electricity story. There's a lot of debunking on that, whether it happened that way or not. And it's like, I don't care. But if lightning struck that, you know, that kite and it went down to
to Ben, he'd have been 20 feet up off the floor. So just like some stories just sound better in your head and just leave them there. Maybe that's okay. As John Wimber used to say, the story always gets better with the telling. For those that catch that, that's a great line. All right, let's get back into our text, our trivia question. What is the only animal in the Bible that lied? That lied. Told a lie, so to speak. All right, let's get back to the text. We ready? Good? Did we cover everything? Do we need to do a website? Yeah, let's do the website again. We need a little bit more money. Yeah, let's do that. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie, let's get back into the text. This is in Acts chapter 2. We're going to pick it up. We're going to go straight through 22, 23, 24. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Breaks. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. So somebody's calling in to answer a trivia question. Then we will dive into the predestination or free will process. And that will give you as straightforward an answer as I can without trying to offend each crew where every people sit on sides like they do on denominations and freak out over the whole thing, which is just silly in and of itself. Let's go ahead and take this person who's going to answer. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hi there, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Great to hear your voice. How are you
Thank
doing?
You.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Is there anything we can be praying for you about? Anything you need? Or are you doing good enough?
I'm good. Doing good, thank God.
All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Things are going well. All right. What was the only animal, quote unquote, that lied in the Bible?
You know, David, I'm just guessing, but I'm thinking it's the donkey.
No, but that's a great guess. That's a great,
yeah,
great guess.
That's
okay.
Guess.
Okay, but think to the garden. Who told a lie?
The serpent.
That's it! You got it! Now, what's sneaky about that is you don't think about a snake as an animal the same way.
That's right. I was going to say that.
Yeah, yeah. But that's still, you're still right there. You knew it right away. So good job. And that's
okay,
what we want.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. She got it. See, that's what I love about our show. All right. Let's go back to this. So here you go. In 4 minutes, I'm going to resolve this. Sure I am. Here's the statement that says, him, this is referring to Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. It's really, if you will separate it, it will make it a lot more understandable. Just like salvation is justification, sanctification, and glorification, so it has a past, present, and future, okay? So that's why there's the freedom from the penalty of sin, freedom from the power of sin, and freedom from the presence of sin. So too, this must be understood with a little bit more wisdom. God knows everything. There is nothing that God does not know. His foreknowledge is exceeded beyond mastery of our capacity to understand. You are talking about finite minds trying to grasp an infinite God. You're trying to take a gazillion, trillion, bazillion, bazillion, zillion and stick it in three. And it just doesn't work. It's just like it's not going to happen. Okay? So God knows everything ahead of time, and he has a determined purpose. You might say, well, his determined purpose was to then have man fall into sin. No, his determined purpose was to have fellowship with man, which he still accomplished through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, but he does allow man to have a decision process in there, but God knows what that decision is and has made his decisions based on knowing that decision. Let me make it a lot easier. For God, it is predetermined. It is purposeful. It is foreknowledge. For man, it is free will, decision, and choice. If you're God, you already know. If you're man, you don't know. In Timothy, it says this scripture, the Lord knows them that are his. That's the first half. And the second half is, and let those that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. This one verse gives you two sides of the same coin. It's just one's on the upside, one's on the downside. The Lord knows them that are his. He knows who's his. God's not wondering, is this one mine? Is this one mine? Is this one mine? He knows. Okay? But we don't know, and God's not telling. So we have to, those that name the name of the Lord, depart from iniquity. We have to demonstrate by reality, by engagement, that we are children of the Most High God. Because man amongst man does not know, but God knows. So from God's point of view, it's determined purpose, it's foreknowledge, it's election, it's done. From man's point of view, we're clueless. We don't even know what's going to happen in 5 minutes, let alone how a person's going to walk through eternity. And what happens is people try to stick with one or the other, and it just doesn't work. You know, whosoever will, and I have complete respect for everybody on each side of this, whosoever will is whosoever will. But the Apostle Paul didn't have a whosoever will when God blinded him and knocked him on his keister and said, time for you to do something different. It's like, yeah, you can't get away from that. Oh, no, he had a choice. He could have denied it. Oh, sure. He's blind and he's on his backside. Somebody's speaking to him from heaven, but he can deny it? Okay, no, he can't. So there's both sides to that coin. And instead of it being a freak out where I have to defend this free will, I have to defend predestination, you have to defend it. You have to follow the Lord. And if it gets too much for your brain, then go back to what Jesus said. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. That's our job. So God had a determined purpose to save the human race through Jesus Christ because he knew we were going to sin and set it up so that it wouldn't all fall away. And he did all that because he loves us. Good enough for me. I will say yes. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Okay, let's do a little bit of history, and then we've got our last teaching. Let's set up history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, unlike most of the times, I'm going to do an honorable mention because there are a couple of days that are worthy of honorable mention. First and foremost, it is Trivia Day. I mean, come on. Trivia Day. That's what we do. Hey, Bible trivia. It is also National Spaghetti Day. So, I don't know how I feel about it. Yummy. You like spaghetti big time? Huge? Wait,
were you about to say you don't know how you feel about spaghetti?
Well, I don't know if it has its own day, but let me ask you. Do you like spaghetti like with stuff in it or just spaghetti by itself?
Anything. Like, you can have stuff in it, stuff out.
Wow.
I will eat spaghetti with the sauce, as long as there's sauce and no just
So meat. You're a big spaghetti fan, like I'm a pizza fan.
Yes. Love carbs.
We're just going to go out one day and just do pizza and spaghetti. We got to go to an all-you-can-eat pizza and spaghetti thing.
Can it be a National Carbs Day?
Yes.
Yes.
We have to find one of those.
A woman.
All right. Here is a woman. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready for our next trivia question. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. Yeah, there's theological challenges in the church. There have been for years and years. So actually, some of the challenges are like 3,500 years old. I was just sending a text to a good fan and was saying it was the church has had 1,900 years of struggle. It's like it's even more than that, really. And here's the thing, and this is what I love about how the Lord operates, okay? Well, Ray is a very, very good friend of mine. In fact, he has been my, you know, just a great supporter. Now, him and I have a difference of opinion on eschatology. He sees it very specifically premillennial, without any movement whatsoever. And as you know, I'm a manifold millennialist, so I see it as a multiple. I see it as premillennial. I see some all millennial in there. I see some post. I see it all is that way. The thing about that is we fellowship. And it's like, yeah, it's not an area that him and I are going to dive in together unless we decide to write a book and he's going to write from one perspective and I'm going to write from another. But he's a dear brother to me. I love him in the Lord. I would do anything, but I would hope I'd lay down my life for him. That's how we got to operate in that. Okay? That's the big thing. Okay? All right. So you're going to have differences of opinion. People are going to have a very staunch position. I respect that. I honor that. But keep in mind, people do come to different conclusions on texts. I mean, this is what it is. So, and in reference to that, and the person who sent me the text had a great point. It's like, look, you're going to have to make a decision. God's not sending people to hell. You're right. Everybody's going to hell no matter what, unless you get on the boat with Jesus. And that's just how it goes. Okay. Let's see. We're going to do our trivia question, right? Got to do our trivia question. Here's the last one. Is that the right one? Yeah, that is the right one. Okay. That was one of those. Okay. Who was turned into a leper for lying to the prophet Elisha? So in other words, Elisha was lied to, okay? Who was turned into a leper for lying to him? So you have Elijah, that's the J. Then you have Elisha, that's the first one, 7 miracles, second one, 14 miracles. Remember, a double portion. Who was turned into a leper for lying to Elisha? Okay, so you got to think, okay, so this is going to be, where is this located? This is going to be located, by the way, in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Check that out. In the meantime, we have our word that we're going to do, and it is a Greek word. Let's do that. Greek. All right. For our Greek word, here is the text, and the text says this. This is out of the book of Acts, ironically, chapter 6. It says this in verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke, referring to Stephen as he was making his declaration. The word wisdom is Sophia, Sophia, or Sophia. Some people say it's Sophia. I think it's Sophia. Wisdom. It's practical wisdom, prudence, skill, comprehensive insight, Christian enlightenment, the right application of knowledge, insight into the true nature of things. Sophia, wisdom. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Practical wisdom, skill, comprehensive insight. That is the word Sophia. So if you think of somebody named Sophia, you think that person's, that is wisdom there. See? See how that would work? Okay. All right, let's finish up the text. Got a lot of people mad at me. I love you anyway. He was turned into a leper for lying to the prophet Elijah. Joy and Cordy coming back strong on a rebound answer. Good job, girls. Here's the text as we go through it. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. God, who raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that Jesus should be held by it. For David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is my is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. We're not going to get into the David text right now. I want to go back real quickly into what is being said. When Peter was doing his preaching, he said, you've taken the lawless hands, taken by lawless hands, Jesus, he was crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Having loosed the pains of death. What we got to understand is that this portion right here is the cornerstone to our faith. No matter where your theology is, this is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've talked about it before. If you go through all the things that we come up with, if you avoid the resurrection, that is big, big, big trouble. Because the resurrection is the cornerstone to our very faith. It's the tomb story. It's the most important element in the context that 1 Peter 1:3 says it's our living hope. And Jesus was loosed, or basically, that word loosed, you're not going to believe this, that word loosed is destroy. And God destroyed the pains of death. In fact, I think the New King James has that as a subnote. It's destroying it and they loose the pains of death, the shackles of death, because death has sorrow attached to it and death has bondage attached to it. And you know that's true because even now and as back then, you go to a funeral, it's sad, it's depressing, people are discouraged. And if the person's a Christian, you know, the loss is for the people that that person was being connected to while they're alive. But when they're dead, if they're a Christian, they're no longer in the misery. Now they're in the greatest place ever in the presence of the Lord. Bodily resurrection hasn't happened yet, but their spirit's with the Lord. The idea behind this is simple. This resurrection is what Peter's message is all about. And he's like, look, you know, you guys did this. Jesus proved he was, you know, the Messiah, you know, but God's determined purpose and foreknowledge. You put him to death, God raised him up. And it was not possible that death should hold him. Can I just say, because I cannot possibly do this in a short amount of time. Can I just say that to us, death is the big exit. But God changed that through Jesus Christ. Death could not hold Jesus, couldn't keep him. And in your circumstance, you think that is bigger than what Jesus overcame? Your situation, your trap, bigger than death? I don't think so. And God declared Jesus Christ our answer to all these miseries that mankind has encountered. You know, prior to Jesus, there is such a great bondage and fear towards death. Now, as Christians, we look and we think, isn't that a stepping stone now? Isn't that the next step? Doesn't Jesus even say that they're in sometimes when he refers to death that they're sleeping? Even Paul made that reference. Sleeping. It's not even real death. It's like there's no cessation. You're just going to go from this place, which give Rick Warren the credit where he wrote the book. This life is like a quarter of an inch on a 25 miles piece of tape. It's like, yeah, this is like the very short part of it. And where we're going, that's what it's all about. And how it's going to be fantastic. And that's our hope. And this is what Peter's preaching to all these people, by the way, who've not thought this through this way. He's like, look, Jesus, this guy did miracles, did fantastic things. Guess what? Miracles have been done before. Guess what? Elijah and Elisha did miracles. We got this last trivia question with Elisha. We're going to answer that in a second. They did miracles, but you know what they didn't? And they even had somebody even raised from the dead, but they didn't raise anybody from the dead, and that person never died again. See, the difference between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and every other resurrection is Jesus rose from the dead to never die again. That's what separates him from everybody else. And that's what we get. It's like, yay! It's like, I think you should be like, yay! It's like, I don't want to say it's like a carnival ride, but sometimes it's like a ride. All right, who was turned into a leper for lying to the prophet Elisha? Who was turned into a leper for lying to the prophet Elisha? That would be his servant Gehazi, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 through 27. Gehazi. You could say Gazi, but it's Gehazi is kind of how you'd say it. So here's the thing to remember, like on a recap on all this stuff that we're talking about. There is, in Jesus Christ, a declaration from God the Father that he is the Messiah. There is an example for you and I that we are vessels to be used by God in a partnership with God. There's an understanding that while our knowledge might be limited, God's knowledge is not limited, and he knows everything because he's all-knowing, and one of the things he did was protect us and give us the understanding that not even death will hold us back, because in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Amen. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, he reached down and saved me.
Views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.